Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the Zensar Technologies Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by HDFC Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Amit.
Yeah, thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of HDFC Securities, I welcome you all to the Zensar Technologies Q3 FY26 earnings call. We have with us Mr. Manish Tandon, CEO and Managing Director, Mr. Pulkit Bhandari, Chief Financial Officer, and other members from the senior management team. Before I hand over the call to Manish, I would like to highlight that the safe harbor statement of the second slide of the earnings presentation is assumed to be read and understood. Thank you, and over to you, Manish.
Thank you, Amit. Hello, good morning, afternoon, good evening, everyone. And first of all, wish all of you a very, very happy 2026. And thank you for taking time to join us today to discuss Zensar's financial results for the third quarter of FY26. With me on this call are the usual suspects. We have Pulkit Bhandari, our CFO, Vijay Sinha, our COO, and Vivek Ranjan, our CHRO. One of the best operating teams in the industry is on the call with you. Zensar delivered a modest yet resilient revenue performance this quarter. This was supported by healthy volume growth, and I want to emphasize that, and also emphasize that this was predominantly driven from offshore. While the resulting mix shift, coupled with typical seasonality and furlough-related softness, moderated our revenue growth momentum, our disciplined execution ensured continued operating strength. Notably, our profitability metrics, order book, and cash position all reached their strongest levels in recent quarters, underscoring the discipline of our execution and the robustness of our financial foundation. We begin 2026 with a singular commitment to lead as a truly AI-native technology services company, redefining the value we deliver. Guided by a strong execution framework, nearly 60% of our workforce is AI-certified, and 20% of this year's order book is AI-influenced, demonstrating the tangible value we deliver through our strategic investments across the entire AI stack, from experience to engineering to engagement. Moving towards our financial performance, the company posted revenue of $160.5 million, a year-over-year growth of 2.2% in reported currency and 1.3% in constant currency. In INR terms, this equates to year-over-year growth of 7.9% and sequential QOQ growth of 0.7%. On a year-over-year reported currency basis, revenue grew by 12.2% in banking and financial services, 5.2% in healthcare and life sciences, while in manufacturing consumer services and also in TMT, vertical revenue declined by 2.7% and 11.6%, respectively. We are pleased to inform that after absorbing the impact of furloughs, our gross profit improved to 33.7%, sequential growth of 270 basis points. Our EBITDA improved to 17.4%, sequential growth of 200 basis points. Net cash and cash equivalents positions improved to $322.4 million, sequential growth of $29.4 million. And order book improved to $180.2 million, sequential growth of 13.6%. This, coupled with industry-leading 9.5% attrition, demonstrates our commitment to disciplined execution and our enriching culture that fosters long-term relationships while continuing to execute our strategic priorities. With that, I will now invite Pulkit our Chief Financial Officer, to provide an update on critical financial data. Over to you, Pulkit.
Thank you, Manish. Good day, everyone, and wish you a very happy New Year. Thank you all for joining this call. I will take you through some of the key business and financial metrics for the quarter ending December 25. IT industry has been navigating a pivotal transformation driven by accelerated adoption of AI. Due to economic uncertainty, enterprises are prioritizing cost optimization and vendor consolidation over discretionary spend that leverages AI. Client conversations have shifted decisively towards building AI-ready data foundations and outcome-based data analytics. We remain committed to delivering enterprise-grade solutions that align with client expectations and enable measurable business outcomes. The reported revenue for the third quarter of financial year 26 stood at $160.5 million in USD terms, reflecting a growth of 2.2% YOY and a degrowth of 1.4% sequentially in reported terms. In constant currency terms, YOY revenue grew by 1.3% and sequentially it degrew by 1.3%. Our EBITDA this quarter expanded by 200 basis points, sequentially driven by positive forex impact of 0.7%, improved offshore effort mix by 1.4%, leave utilization benefit of 1%, other operational efficiencies of 0.7%. This was offset partially by impact of furloughs to an extent of 1%, ESOP, and this is a full quarter of ESOP cost coming in, of 0.9%. While we have expanded our margins, we continue to invest in augmenting capabilities, specifically around AI and sales. We maintained our mid-teen margin guidance. Our PAT for the quarter stood at 13.9%. This includes an impact of INR 25 crores on account of new labor code changes. We continue to monitor and assess the clarifications as we go into this new law changes. Some other key highlights. Our order book for the quarter stood at 180.2 million. Our book-to-bill ratio for the quarter is 1.12. Cash, including investments, stood at $322.4 million with an impressive DSO of 71 days. Our attrition improved to 9.5%. Diluted EPS grew to 8.7 per share, which is 9.4% growth quarter on quarter. The board has agreed to pay an interim dividend of 2.4 rupees per share this quarter. With that, I will now invite Vijay, our Chief Operating Officer, to comment further on Q3 FY26 results.
Thank you, Manish and Pulkit. Greetings, everyone. I will now share details about our operational efficacy, service line performance, and AI journey. Our utilization for the quarter stood at 83.5%, which grew by 60 basis points YOY and declined of 130 basis points QOQ due to the seasonal furloughs. The rigor associated with accelerated fulfillment and capability enrichment continued. We had a gross addition of 988 employees in the quarter. Our voluntary attrition was 9.5%. This is the fourth successive quarter where our voluntary attrition has been below 10%. The offerings from our service lines and industry services group continue to resonate well with our clients. The share of revenue from our service lines increased to 69% in Q3, which is 220 basis points higher YOY. On a YOY reported currency basis, cloud infrastructure and security services grew by 10.9%. Data engineering and analytics grew by 13.1%. Products and platforms, including CMO services, grew by 3%. Enterprise application services had a degrowth of 3.6%. The AI talent transformation initiative has seen significant growth in Q3. Our transformative Ignite AI Academy has impacted 7,300 plus unique employees with over 10,000 course completions in AI, generative AI, and agentic AI.
This demonstrates our unwavering commitment to developing future-ready talent at scale. Industry-recognized certifications have also seen a strong uptake, thereby strengthening our technical credibility in the AI domain. The AI for Leaders programs has gained significant traction, driving innovation and leadership in AI adoption. We continue to deliver significant value to our clients in key AI engagements. A couple of examples of value delivered to clients are as follows. We have established a physical AI lab for a Fortune 50 client, which is focused on large-scale physical simulation and world model development. The lab enables multi-agent simulation, synthetic data generation, and closed-loop training to build high-fidelity world models that reflect real-world dynamics. Leveraging ZenseAI, our agentic AI platform, we delivered an end-to-end modernization assessment program for a prominent financial services client for its retail credit processing platform. The engagement reverse-engineered 300+ complex mainframe programs and interfaces and established an execution-ready roadmap, achieving up to 60% faster documentation, 50% faster rule extraction, and materially lower scoping risk. With that, we can now open the line for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Wishing you all a very happy new year. And congrats on the solid execution on margins despite the weakness. Had a couple of questions. So the first is, I think last quarter, Manish, you had mentioned an all-time high deal pipeline. Just wanted your thoughts on the conversion there. And second, when do you think we start seeing consistent, predictable growth? Where do you see the pain points lie today? And finally, I think what you mentioned on the AI side, saying 20% of the order book is AI influence. When we look at peers, people indicate higher, reasonably higher numbers there. So just wanted your thoughts there as well. Is it that we're sort of lagging there, or is it just a matter of classification?
Yeah, so first of all, let me answer the third question first. When we say 24% of our order book is AI influenced, we believe that, we believe in tracking that only EN and NN can be order, can be AI influenced. We do not believe that renewals can be AI influence. And if you take that number, then this 20% actually goes up to a very high number overall. Okay. So I think that is where most likely the disconnect is. And Nitin, I don't want this to treat AI like people used to treat digital, that suddenly 100% of their revenues became digital overnight. So I don't want to do that. So we are very disciplined in the way we report our AI-influenced order book. The second question on areas of softness remains TMT. Okay. Other sectors, you know, there are pluses and minuses here and there. The area of weakness remains TMT, and while I point out to the area of weakness, I would say the area of strength remains financial services and insurance. Okay. So that, and third is you said a strong pipeline. I just want to point out that while you guys are focusing too much on revenues, look at the volume growth also. Ultimately, the volume growth, what has happened this quarter also, besides the furlough, is that there has been a change in the on-site mix. And we have done more work offshore. And that is also reflected in the margin improvements that we have shown. So also, I think next quarter, if this volume growth is, I think it is sustainable. If the volume growth is sustainable with the higher number of working days that we see, we should start seeing a reflection in revenue numbers also. I also want to point out that while revenue growth is very exciting for everyone, I'm a bit old school. I still focus on the bottom line, and we have grown year over year in dollar terms. We have shown 18.2% growth in bottom line, and in rupee terms, 24.1% growth in rupee terms. So as I said, I'm a bit old school. I will not go in for revenues that don't lead to profitability and margins. And as I have said before also, I am ultimately, we as a management team solve for shareholder value, and shareholder value is a combination of revenue growth and EBITDA percentage. And that is what we will continue to solve as we go forward.
No, sure. That's helpful, and I agree with that. The only question is that I think at some point growth will also become important, right? I think when we our thought process was that we will be in line with peers and higher than peers over a period of time from a growth perspective, and so I was just asking from that. From that angle, the profitability, I completely agree, profitability has been extremely strong, but obviously growth ultimately feeds everything, so just wanted your thought there on achieving higher than peer growth over time. Yeah,
Nitin, I absolutely agree with you, but when you know, as a management team, when you know that this is a seasonally weak quarter, right? And this is a seasonally weak quarter for everyone. The best way of generating shareholder value in a quarter like this is to try and improve the bottom line, because top line is difficult, or you can achieve only certain levels of this. We are not saying that we are focused exclusively on bottom line. We are actually very, very, very focused on top line growth also. And God willing, we will start seeing the results soon. But as I said, in the interim, I would just say, when one says growth, one can look at profit growth or one can look at revenue growth. I would rather look at profit growth than revenue growth. And on that front, I think we have delivered stupendously. 18.2% year over year growth in dollar terms. I would challenge others to see if anyone has delivered this kind of growth in profits.
Sure. Perfect. Understood. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you, Nitin.
We take the next question from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, and sir, congratulations on a very strong margin expansion. So you mentioned about that we saw the volume growth in this quarter. If you can quantify what was the volume growth, just to give a context. Also, you mentioned that the stress area is like TMT, which obviously has been there over the last 11, 12 quarters now, and it has been the YoY growth has been negative over the last 11 quarters. How do you see the stress there in the TMT, whether it's an ongoing stress and we don't have a visibility there, or we can assume that there is some light at the end of the tunnel and we can see some recovery there in terms of the TMT? Because earlier also you mentioned that ex of the top client or the TMT last year also our growth was pretty healthy. If you can throw some more color in terms of how the growth is ex of the stress in the large account.
I would say, we have been, Amit, my challenge now to myself and the team is that can we deliver double-digit growth despite TMT not delivering? That is the challenge that we have taken up as a team. There is no point in, today in the board meeting also I said the same thing. There is no point in, saying TMT. I mean, let's get beyond it now. Now, the proportion of TMT to the overall mix has come down from the past. That is what we want to look forward and look ahead, not on the basis of and still deliver, try and deliver growth despite whatever happens in TMT. As to TMT, I mean, my commentary has been consistent that we are seeing a lot of spend moving away from services to AI, capital investment towards AI, particularly in buying hardware, etc. I am not looking at TMT improving significantly. Frankly, if TMT can stay flat for us, that will be good for us. As to the volume growth, Vijay, maybe you can comment on it, or Pulkit, you can comment on it, the exact numbers.
Yeah. We had a volume growth of 3.1% at offshore and overall of 1.7%, that translated to 1.7%. There was a decline at onsite because of movement from onsite to offshore.
Okay. Now coming on to the strong areas, which is BFSI, and also we have seen some recovery in the MCS. If you can throw some light in terms of specifically BFSI, what's happening there in terms of clients, because BFSI has been a strong area where like most of the peers and where the growth is coming for the sector. And obviously we are also seeing some strong growth there. But if you can split it between what's happening between the US and Africa, because we have a strong presence in BFSI in Africa also. So if you can give us some insights there. And also on the manufacturing, are we seeing some reversals in terms of the priorities in terms of clients, and can we confidently say that the worst is behind for manufacturing?
Okay, so on BFSI, we are seeing a decent amount of growth, secular growth, be it in Europe, be it in Africa, be it in US, and particularly in the US, we are seeing reasonable growth. So that is your first question. On manufacturing, as I have said before, our exposure to manufacturing is fairly limited. And hence, we don't get impacted too much by manufacturing. What we call as manufacturing and consumer services, primarily retail. And there, this quarter is the seasonal sort of quarter So there are, as you know, retail spending, retail 40% of sales happen in this quarter. So most retailers ramp up. But we are seeing good amount of, some amount of green shoots. I would not say a good amount of green shoots, but some amount of green shoots in this sector. Life sciences, although you have not asked, there we are seeing healthcare and life sciences, there we are seeing continued headwinds. Primarily because in accounts, we have been at the wrong end of a consolidation.
Okay. And sir, on like lastly on the margins front, obviously we have seen healthy growth. So is there any one-off component in terms of the margin expansion that we have seen? And obviously we are at the higher end of the guidance in terms of the mid-teen. So are we planning to invest some of these gains back into fueling the growth? And also in terms of cash position, we have very healthy cash, which is 18-19% of market cap right now. So how do you plan to give it back to shareholders? And in terms of acquisitions, what are our plans?
So there are lots of questions, Amit. So let Pulkit answer all the financial questions. I think between Pulkit and Vijay, the two people who are most responsible for delivering this, I think they should answer. Pulkit, over to you.
Sure. So, Amit, I think the way we look at basically margin is that part of it is structural improvement, part of it is basically specific to this quarter. So when you look at the overall expansion, there is a improved offshore effort mix, which is roughly around 1.4%. And that's the structural shift, and I would say slightly more long-term than anything else, which is going to stay. Yeah. Impacts like the benefits like leave utilization, some part of other operational efficiencies may actually go away next quarter. Yeah. At the same time, our endeavor is, to answer your first part, we want to invest continuously in AI and sales. And to that extent, basically, some of the expansion will go back and get plowed back in these two areas. The long-term guidance still stays at mid-teens. Yeah. But at the same time, some of these improvements should basically sustain. And if not invested back, they'll help us expand the margins. But the endeavor is to, of course, invest them back. That's part one. Second, our cash position stays strong. Our DSOs, as I called out, is strong. Our collections every quarter have been improving. Overall, do we look at capital allocation ideas? Absolutely, yes. Do we evaluate M&A situations? Yes, very actively. But we are very mindful in terms of how they will be accretive, not just to the revenue, but also to the bottom line. So our decision making is centered around the ability of any idea which can help us, again, in the midterm to long term. They're not short-term solutions. So that's how we look at cash. You said distribution back to the shareholders. This quarter, again, we basically, like last year, same time, we had an interim dividend that we announced. This time it is 120%. Last year it was roughly around 100% of the face value. So we are improving in terms of our distribution ratios. And we would kind of do that balancing act between distribution and, of course, keeping cash for growth.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sandeep Shah from Aquarius Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a strong execution on margin in a difficult quarter. So the first question is, when you joined at that point in time itself, you were knowing that TMT could be a pain portfolio, especially because of a large account client-specific issues. So any view why we were not able to compensate that by acting proactively in some of the other verticals? Is it more to do with the portfolio mix outside BFSI and TMT, which is hurdling us in terms of a proactive aggression? Is it more to do with macro, or is it more to do with our sales aggression, where we are not able to act proactively in terms of adding more deals, more pipeline, converting more pipeline into deal wins and into revenue to compensate TMT? Because now, as a percentage to sales, if I'm not wrong, would have come down from high teens to closer to high single digit. So any view on this and any change of gears in terms of acting aggressively on proactive basis?
So Sandeep, you are assuming that the platform that I inherited, I mean we, the management team inherited, was a stable managed services platform. That assumption is wrong. What we inherited was really a slightly more advanced form of a staff augmentation company, to be very frank. So we were grappling with multiple problems. And as I had said before this, if we didn't fix the margin issue first, then there will be no investment available to invest in the business, to transform the business. And that is why we took the important problems first. We positioned the company in a fashion that it can take advantage now of the new trends and the new things that are happening. And I'm very pleased to say that we are now in a position to really, be it M&A, be it, you know, investing in AI, be it launching new verticals. We have created the framework and the scaffolding in the organization to be able to do all those things. TMT is also now less than 10% of our, about 10% of our revenue, if I'm not mistaken. So its impact is going to be less going forward. That's the other thing. And, you know, almost all the sectors were struggling when we joined. So please do not forget that the run rate of the company was less than, was when I took over, was 140 million a quarter, if I'm not mistaken. So from there we have come a long way, and I feel very confident that now the company is really positioned to take advantage of the opportunities that the environment is presenting.
Fair enough. Great reply to the question. And sir, just in terms of further to what Nitin has asked and you have replied, you said we generally prioritize on a profitable business. So that's a good strategy, because what investor wants is a EPS growth as well. But in that scenario, why we are not increasing our EBITDA margin goalpost? Because at one end, if we are saying we want to become profitable, at the other end, we are saying we are investing, but that is not yielding growth turnaround yet. So why not increase the margin goalpost, where currently the margin is much higher than the goalpost?
So Sandeep, again, see, I outlined this philosophy very early in my tenure, that I am trying to maximize shareholder value, and for me, maximizing shareholder value in some cases may mean lower revenue but higher margin, but in most cases it means higher revenues and lower margins. Okay. So at this stage, as I was mentioning to Nitin, when you go into a quarter and you realize that this is going to be a soft quarter for everyone, what can you do to maximize shareholder value? You can only shore up and execute much better, execute to higher margin, and that's what we have done. If this quarter I get a large deal, for example, which is not margin accretive in the first year, it gives me that cushion to take up that last deal, even though it might not be accretive in the first year, right? Margin accretive in the first year. So this is while we can view it from a quarter to quarter lens, but as a leader, I think, and as a management team, we are playing the long game. We are fixing the company Zensar structurally, and we are positioning it for much better things to come. When I joined, one of the things I told the team that the best is yet to come, and I am very confident even today that the best is still to come.
Okay.
And we have
this luck.
And we have traversed that journey.
Yeah. Fair enough, sir. Just last two question. In terms of offshoring, if business has grown on the offshore volume side, why on a Q1Q the offshore revenue mix is just improved by 20-30 bits? And second, is it fair to assume fourth quarter there could be a material growth bounce back as we recoup the furloughs and the worst in the TMT may be behind in the fourth quarter, where it may not grow, leak, but it may not grow and remain stable?
So hope is eternal, hope runs eternal is all I can say. Ultimately, volume growth will translate into revenue growth. In fact, if there is no volume growth and there is revenue growth, then we as a management team get worried. So this is very encouraging. As to why the proportion, etc., I mean, see, there are so many factors, Sandeep. Dollar appreciation, that has an impact. Then the number of, two people going off from on-site will have an impact, equivalent impact on offshore of, say, five people being added or something like that. So those ratios are also there. So it's a very, from a revenue perspective, it's a very fine calculation, especially with a depreciating currency. Being an industry veteran, we can tell you that ultimately offshore leads to higher margin. Higher offshore volume growth leads to higher margin, and that is what we are focused on.
Okay. So just a clarity, fourth quarter one can expect growth to turn around?
We don't give guidance, as you know, but hope runs eternal.
Okay. Thank you. I will come in the follow-up if I have more. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Debashis Majumdar from Formal Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. I had a few sets of questions. So my first question was around TMT vertical. Sir, I know last time also you had alluded to that the clients have started to spend more on CapEx on hardware instead of on the services. But this time or as a whole, how are you seeing this? Has it come to a surprise to us in the extent of the impact on our revenue stream on this? Has it come to you as a surprise, or you were sorts of prepared for it, and should we assume, second part to it is, should we assume that it has bottomed out, or there is some more recalibration which is left here?
No, I wouldn't say that it has bottomed out or recalibration. I wouldn't take a guess on that. But if I have to guess, then I would guess on the downside than on the upside. Okay. So I would say, and frankly, as I commented to Nitin and to Amit, I have asked the team to look beyond TMT. I mean, now it's a smaller percentage of our revenue, and I have said that TMT is no longer going to be a crutch that they can fall on as we move forward. I can tell you that overall the headwinds in the TMT sector remain. I don't think that the spending that these large companies are doing on CapEx and so on is going away. And a lot of insourcing is also happening in these sectors. And wherever people are able to retain businesses, they are giving hefty discounts of the order of 30%.
Thanks. So just to follow up on this one, is the headwind we are facing in TMT is a broad all across clients, or is there a few, let's assume one, two, I'm not even alluding to the top one, is it a few set of clients, client specific issue, or is it a broader theme you are seeing across?
See, we don't have too many TMT clients, to be honest with you. So, at least in our portfolio, we are seeing it as a broader issue. But as I said, we don't have, you know, it is not that we have 100 TMT clients.
Fair enough. Got it. That answers it well. Sir, my second question was around the, I just wanted to understand the cost item of employee cost, and wanted to relate it with the decline or a flattish offshore revenue. Could you help me help me tie these up, because there has been a sharp decline in employee cost during this quarter. So how should I understand this, is it a fair assumption that a few contracts or a ramp ups have been delayed, or we have reached to a phase where newer ramp ups are taking time? How should you understand this?
No, as I explained to Sandeep just before this, see, tying up when the currency is stable, then you will see direct correlations. When the currency is depreciating so much, then you will not see direct correlations. Okay. But everyone in the industry knows that offshore is more lucrative than on-site. So when you look at total revenue, that has been there is an interplay of currency and the utilization and volume there. So as to sharp decrease in the cost, I mean, all credit goes to Vijay particularly, and Pulkit as to, and Vivek also, as to how they have been able to manage the cost. Some of it I can tell you, it is because of leave provisioning, because this is a quarter where a lot of people take a lot of leaves and furloughs happen. So some of it, and Pulkit has also mentioned that there is a 0.7% benefit, correct Pulkit, based on leave that we have got.
Yeah, so just to basically add to what Manish said. One is basically higher leave utilization, which is roughly around 1% on an overall basis. Part of it would have gone into gross margin, part of it would have come to SG&A. The on-site headcount reduction is roughly around 52 in the current quarter. Last quarter as well, on-site headcount reduction came down by around 90, which was towards the end of the quarter. So the full quarter impact of that benefit is coming in Q3.
Got it. That explains. Sir, on specifically, my third question was around the deal wins. So could you give some flavor as to what parts, what forms the existing new or a net new part onto it? And second part to it was, are we comfortable with the current run rate of deal wins, and how should we understand that? Or what steps are we taking to just to improve this or to give it a larger number? Because we have had a higher number in the past also.
Yeah, so as we have been maintaining, we are fairly comfortable as long as the number, the order bookings are somewhere between 0.9 to 1.2 times quarterly revenues. We are very comfortable with that. This time it was 1.12 our book to bill. So that answers, I think, some question, first part of the question. The second part of the question is, before order booking, you have pipelines. We don't disclose our pipelines, but I can tell you that the pipeline is fairly strong that we see. How much we'll be able to convert and in what time frame, that we have to accelerate, and we continue to focus on doing that.
Sir, part two question was the renewals and the new part of the
So if you look at out of the Pulkit, do we disclose EN and NM or
no? We don't.
Yeah.
So a certain flavor to it. Just I know I understand that you don't give the exact numbers, but just a flavor to it, as in a year back how it was, or has the proportion changed, or how are we seeing that?
I would say it is it usually is about 25 to 27 to somewhere between 20 to 30% is what EN and NN normally is. Sometimes if you have a large deal or something, it's slightly higher. But usually it is in this range.
And no major shift in terms of 1 year back and today's order book. It has predominantly been in the similar range, you're saying?
No, no. E and NN order book has been in the similar range. But our order book, average order book is last four quarters, the average order book was somewhere around 185 or something, if I'm not mistaken. And this quarter also it is in the same range. I'm looking at the order book numbers. So last quarter it was 158.7, before that it was 172, and this quarter it is 180.2.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nikhil Chaudhary from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on offshoring. We have recently improved offshoring by more than 400 basis points in the last 1 year. Where we are in this journey, and do you intend to increase offshoring further, and if there is any target?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the line of Manish sir. Please stay connected while I rejoin Manish sir. Thank you. Thank you for your patience, ladies and gentlemen. Nichols, if you could please repeat your question.
Sure, thank you. Just wanted to understand what's your view on offshoring. We have already increased it by 400 basis points from last year. any target you have of, let's say, reaching it 60% of overall revenue? Any timeline? Thank you.
Hello?
Hi. Yeah. Pulkit, you want to go? You want me to take it?
No, Vijay, you can take that. Yeah.
Yeah. So look, we don't have a specific target in terms of increasing the offshore ratio. This is based on the type of work that we are getting. And with AI, the advent of AI, we are able to do a lot of these stuff at offshore, and that has been the reason why it is actually progressing. But to your specific question, we don't have a target saying this is the offshore percent. I think we are in a range-bound stuff, and this is the right range when it comes to offshoring.
Got it. Thank you. Second one on growth. With us delivering 1.3% growth, which is lower than the industry growth, compared to our guidance of moving up in growth quadrant from bottom quadrant to top quadrant in the next 3 years, do you think is it possible for us to, let's say, deliver even mid-single-digit to high-single-digit growth next year, especially in the backdrop of our 9-month deal win has declined by high-single-digit, and most of the vertical outside of BFSI is actually facing headwind? So what's the timeline or journey or plan to reach the double-digit growth, and can we at least deliver, let's say, mid- to high-single-digit growth in FY27? So some color there. Thank you.
Growth, you want revenue growth or you want profit growth?
Revenue growth, sir.
And profit, if it doesn't grow, that's fine, okay?
No, sir. Profit growth is obviously very surprising and encouraging. I just want
to understand. Yeah. So our profit growth in dollar terms is 18.1% year-over-year. I challenge you to find any large-scale player who has delivered 18.1% profit growth year-over-year.
Without doubt, sir. But any color in terms of revenue growth perspective, just from our own modeling, how should we?
Revenue growth? कितना चाहिए आपको बताइए? कितना चाहिए? मैं भी I can also buy revenue, ना? So, I mean, guys, look at the overall picture. Ultimately, my job is to deliver. Our job is to deliver shareholder value. Shareholder value comes from, as I'm old school, I know. But shareholder value comes from profit growth, EPS growth. Our EPS growth is 24.9% year-over-year. Our profit growth is 18.1% year-over-year in dollar terms.
Got it, Manish. So let me think of this way.
Thank you.
Let me think of this way. Can we still deliver double-digit profit growth going ahead? That will be the target of the management?
Yes. We want to. Yes. Yes. We will deliver. We want to deliver double-digit profit growth.
Okay.
We are committed to doing that.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sandeep Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. Manish, sir, you said in the healthcare life sciences, a couple of accounts where we were on the wrong side of vendor consolidation. So what exactly that has happened? And do you believe the impact of this may start from 4Q and maybe a headwind for the growth in 4Q, 1Q, or do you believe the headwind is already in the numbers in 3Q?
No, no. I mean, see, there will be some impact in Q4. But I mean, this is not like it was a $100 million account or anything. So it's we were doing some project. It got consolidated. We got consolidated out. It was not that in an account we got consolidated out. But in healthcare life sciences, its overall size of the revenue size of the vertical is only $60-$70 million or so. Then even a $2-$3 million thing consolidation has an impact, correct? So that is the only thing. Nothing for you to be, nothing, I mean, overall at a company level, nothing to worry about.
Okay, fair enough. And sir, based on the commentary, it looks like 70% of the portfolio, both on BFSI and MCS, has been doing well and you are confident. But will it be enough for you to drive the growth, or do you believe we may have to add organically and inorganically new portfolios which will help us for our long-term growth aspirations?
So we are actively looking for inorganic opportunities, frankly. But again, you know, cash that we hold belongs to the shareholders, and we want to use it very judiciously, not just to go and arbitrarily buy revenues. We are not interested in buying revenues. We are interested in doing strategic acquisitions that can lead to long-term shareholder value. So we are cautious, but we are aggressively looking at opportunities.
Okay, thanks. Fair enough. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, we conclude the question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Tandon for his closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. It's pretty late. Actually, interestingly, I got dropped off because my cell phone went into do not disturb mode. So, before we conclude, those of you who are in the US in India, I want to reiterate my gratitude for being on this call. Most of all, I want to convey my gratitude to our clients for their continued trust, to all the Zensarians for their unwavering dedication, and to, of course, all of you for your confidence and support as we embark on this shareholder value creation journey. I think Q3 reflected the expected seasonal softness combined with the impact of change in volume share mix. Yet our year-over-year revenue growth, profit growth, significant market expansion, healthy order book, and robust cash position all reinforce our confidence in the path ahead. As we move into the final stretch of FY26, our priorities remain clear: maintained disciplined execution, deepen the value we deliver to clients, and continue advancing our AI-native process. Thank you once again for taking the time to join Zensar's Q3 FY26 earnings call. And I look forward to interacting with some of you in the various analyst forums. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of HDFC Securities Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.